buzzer has sounded, we are headed to overtime with William Pattison on Fox Sports Knoxville. This is Fan Run Radio.
And here we go. Hour number two on a Monday, live from the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. It's overtime with William Pattison, Dawson Wise, and Jace Brown. Great first hour. Let's continue it here in the second. Breaking news, Vols spring game, baseball sweeping. Now, it's time to move over to the pros, where you got the NBA. The NBA playoffs on the horizon. We got some play-in games this week to figure out who those last two seeds are. But this is always one of my favorite times of the year. I love the NBA playoffs. I love the NBA. I love it a little bit more than some people do, especially around Tennessee. But I'm really excited about it. I'm excited to get right into it. So let's dive right in. It took 82 games and 5 extra minutes to decide the second-best team in the Eastern Conference and a playoff team with nothing to gain helps a first-place team out in the West emerge. On an unprecedented final day of the regular season for the NBA, which took place yesterday on Sunday, with more up for grabs in both conferences at game number 82 than at any point in the league's 77-year history, the New York Knicks defeated the Chicago Bulls in overtime 120-119 to claim second place in the East, the second seed, and in the West, with the Oklahoma City Thunder beating the entirely depleted Dallas Mavericks 135-86, the Thunder now emerged from a three-way tie with the Denver Nuggets and Minnesota Timberwolves to claim the number one seed. With an average age of just under 24 years old, OKC is the youngest team to earn a number one seed in league history. Taking a quick peek at the brackets, in the first round, you have the Thunder taking on the play-in winner in round two. So that's the loser of the Pelicans-Lakers game, the loser of the Kings-Warriors game. Those teams matching up, the winner of that one would play the Thunder. The 4-5, Clippers and Mavericks, an interesting matchup there, especially with how the Mavericks have been playing as of late. Now, Sunday, completely depleted. That's not the same team they'll be playing against Los Angeles. The 3-6, Timberwolves and your Suns, Dawson. I like the matchup for Phoenix there, especially with Gobert and Kat having to go out and guard now all these special players and Durant and Booker and Beal. I like that matchup for them. The Nuggets with the 2 seed, they'll play the winner of the Pelicans-Lakers play-in game tomorrow night. And this is an interesting situation for the Lakers, because do you want to beat the Pelicans and then have to play the Nuggets first round? Or do you kind of tank the Pelicans game, take the winner of the Kings-Warriors game, and then match up with the Thunder, which is a young team, Lakers veteran? I mean, it's a contrast of styles, and the Lakers had the Thunder's number all season long, went 3-1 in their 4 matchups. So a little bit of a checker game, or chess, not checkers there. And in the East, Celtics will play the round 2 winner of the play-in, either the Bulls or Hawks, 76ers or Heat. Cavs and Magic. This is an interesting one, because the Cavs have not been playing their best basketball as of late. They're really injured. They had a really good stretch in February. Now they've kind of gone back down to earth. The Magic, they're young. Do we back them to win a series? I don't know. But they've played really good basketball this season. Are they ready for that moment? We'll have to see. Bucks and Pacers, if you listen to the first hour, you know how I feel about this matchup. For the Pacers, I think it's a really good matchup for them. And they haven't been playing great towards the second half of the season, but the Bucks have been playing terrible. So it kind of evens out there. And then the Knicks get that 2 seed. They'll play the winner, the 76ers and Heat. 76ers, with Joel Embiid back in the lineup, that's a really good team. The Heat were just in the finals last year, not the same team. But I think the winner of the Knicks-76ers series could make it to the Eastern Conference Finals and match up most likely with the Boston Celtics. So plenty to talk about in the bracket. We'll continue to dive into it over the next couple of weeks. But let's talk about these play-in games that take place Tuesday and Wednesday, Thursday as well. The play-in games will take place to decide the final 4 seeds in the playoffs. Beginning in the West, we'll begin with the Golden State Warriors. Another one of my best bets was the Warriors to get it done against the Kings. Is Golden State able to win the play-in and keep their season alive? Are they able? They got to win two games. Are they able to do that? I think there's a possibility they can because of the depth they have in terms of veteran players in their starting lineup that have been here in these situations in the playoffs before. If we get a Lakers-Golden State matchup in that possible round two of the play-in, that's a real rubber match. Will Golden State make it to the playoffs?
They'll have to have another good offensive performance. They've gotten that momentum back over the last week or so, and kind of shown us that old team that we're used to out of Golden State. If their offense falters again in either of these games, even if they win the first one, I don't think it bodes well for them. I think they need to play well offensively. I don't think they need to make 26 threes. Don't get me wrong. I don't think any team's going to need to be able need to have to do that.
Sure.
But I think they're going to need to play well offensively. This is where the stars are going to get you through. Curry, Thompson, Draymond Green, guys like that have been there and done that. Those are the guys that are going to thrive in this scenario when it's win or go home. Mm-hmm. Those are going to be the guys you have to lean on. If you're going to win these two games, it's going to be on the backs of those guys, and you need them right here.
Yeah.
We don't know when this window is going to close for them. Is it this year? Is this it for them? You're going to need them to step up and show that urgency to continue to win. The loser of Lakers-Pelicans is going to be a tough draw regardless.
Yeah.
Now, Pelicans a much more favorable draw, in my opinion, if the Lakers are healthy. Which is a whole different issue that we could get into.
Yeah.
If the Lakers lose and they're healthy, I don't like how that bodes for Golden State. I think the Lakers, when healthy, are a better team and pose a threat to most teams in the Western Conference.
Yes.
So as long as they're healthy, not good for Golden State, but they have a decent route to the playoffs, assuming the Lakers can beat the Pelicans in that first play-in game.
Yeah, I think with recent play of the Warriors, I think over the last 2-3 weeks of the season, we really started seeing them take that next step, really accelerated, got Houston out of the playoff race, and was able to lock up a play-in spot. So I think with how they've been playing, I think it's a very favorable matchup to have an injured Kings team, at least in that first play-in games. I think that's huge for how their momentum is. And like you said, Dawson, I think the Pelicans are a much more favorable draw, especially if the Lakers are healthy. But I could see this Warriors team with all that veteran presence that they have, all the success that group has had, and just knowledge of the playoffs. I think they match up pretty well against just about anybody just on that front. But again, I would rather them see them play the Pelicans because, again, being a Lakers fan, I just want to get in the playoffs, myself. But I think, they can bode well against all three of these play-in teams that aren't the Warriors themselves. It really just depends on if they can, like you said, keep that offense rolling at a high clip. We're going to see some decent defense. It's not going to be anything overwhelming. But if they can just overcome that hump like they have the last 3 weeks, it really shouldn't be a question if they're in it or not.
Important to keep in mind, the Warriors have played both the Lakers and Pelicans within the last week and a half.
Yes.
They were able to get it done against the Lakers last week in a really big matchup. They hit 26 threes, though.
Yeah.
Anthony Davis not there. That favors Golden State because now the Lakers can't use their imposing length and height down low. So the Warriors were able to cruise in that one. If Anthony Davis plays, I like the matchup for the Lakers. In the Pelicans game, Pelicans came into Golden State and got it done Saturday night. So, either one of these matchups, Lakers at full strength, Pelicans just beat them at home on Saturday. So, I think they have the talent. I think they have everything they need to advance. The problem is it's backs against the wall. If you have a bad night, if Klay Thompson's not playing like he has in the second half of the season where he's averaging 18 points – then who's that second guy that's going to give you that boost? Is it Andrew Wiggins? He's been inconsistent all year. Draymond Green's not going to hit 5 threes in a game again. So I think Golden State, they're going to need Klay Thompson to go from a brick brother to
he did against the Lakers last week.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But I just think they're so reliant on the guys other than Steph Curry to where if they drop the ball I don't know if this team can make it past, especially with the games they've already played against the two teams they'll have to play. I think they'll beat the Kings. If they beat the Lakers or Pelicans, it's still up in the air. Now, talking about this Lakers situation, Lakers really played their best half of basketball, really one of their best games of basketball on Sunday against the Pelicans. We're up by 30 points at one point in the third quarter. Never looked back. LeBron James, 28 points, 17 assists, 11 rebounds. He's in year 21, by the way. Yes. What a year for him. I don't care if you're a LeBron or Jordan guy. You can't say that he did not have a good season, and that it's not a really impressive feat for him. But now the question is, what do the Lakers do? Do they tank against the Pelicans and take the better of the Kings or Warriors matchup and trying to avoid the Denver Nuggets and hopefully play the Thunder? But then you're in a situation where if you have a bad night against the Warriors or Kings, then you're out of the playoffs. It's a risky way to go. I think that the Lakers rather play the Nuggets later on because the Nuggets have had some injury concerns with Jamal Murray. He's been out with shin splints. Those could flare up as the playoffs go on. But at the same time, I'd rather play him early because you're fully healthy and fully ready to go. I don't have a side yet, but what should the Lakers do against the Pelicans? Should they tank the matchup?
I've been a fan of a team who has tanked before. Now, in a different scenario than this, I hate tanking. I hate watching tanking. If I'm a fan of the Lakers, why tank? To me, I'd rather just win, because then at least if you win, you're in. I mean, I get it, you're playing the Nuggets, but you don't have to play that win or go home game.
Yeah.
Because equally, as much as I don't like the proposition of Golden State playing LA in that game, I don't like being in the Lakers and having to play the Warriors in that game.
Yeah.
When it's win or go home, I don't like that at all. Considering, the Warriors, I don't think they're going to shoot 26 threes again, but they come out and shoot 18.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, you're out of the playoffs. I mean, your season's over, and you're sitting on the couch. You could have just won that first game, and yes, you're playing the Denver Nuggets, but you're still in the playoffs. You're still playing basketball.
Yeah.
Why put yourself in a position to go home, jeopardize your season before the playoffs even really get started?
Yeah.
I'm not for that. I get not wanting to play the Nuggets. The threat they pose is great. But, we've talked about it on here before. I'd rather play him when he got as much gas in the tank as possible, because we talked about that series last year, how it felt like the Lakers ran out of gas.
Yeah.
And that they were out of juice by the time they got to the Nuggets. I'd rather go ahead and play him now.
Yeah.
I understand. Yeah, you got injury problems that could flare up later, but just test it out. If you can get healthy, I think they could pose the threat to the Nuggets. One of the only teams I think they could pose a threat to the Nuggets. So I don't like tanking. I never have. I would just win. Just win and make it easy.
Yeah, my simple answer is hell no.
Goodness.
Wow.
That wasn't simple.
Do you really want to have your back against the wall against a team like either the Kings, who, last year had, one of the, greatest first years under Coach Mike Brown, and then are trying to sort of get back to that prominence, and then the Warriors team that's just full of veterans and younger guys that mesh really well. I don't want to play either of those teams in a winner go home matchup at all. And like y'all said, it's, you need to jump in. You need to make the playoffs. That's the only thing I'm worried about right now. Your back's already up against the wall, having to be in a play-in itself. So I think getting out of that as soon as possible, it will take a little bit of weight off your shoulders. And you really don't want to look ahead too far. I think the only game you need to worry about is the one in front of you. That's the big thing for me. You really just got to play whoever pops up in front of you. And even if it is the Denver Nuggets, like y'all said, I think, like you've said pretty much this whole season, William, is, this is the second deepest roster in the West. Of all the teams, I think it's going to be the one that gives Denver the most trouble, especially if you play him early. Like you said, you've got your legs up under you. Anthony Davis is, should be at 100%. You've got LeBron, who's always going to be a workhorse for you out there. I think you can't overlook that. You really need to jump in and just give it your all and go for that playoff spot anyways, because at this point there are no guarantees, especially if you take one game. Like you said, Dawson, all it takes is just one crazy night from three from any team in the league, and you're out in one game. So, and I really don't want to face the Kings, especially because it feels like the two guys that Anthony Davis has struggled with the most over this season has been Nikola Jokic and Domantas Sabonis. Those are two guys that he really hasn't gone over the hump for. So I really don't want to see either of those teams just get in the freaking playoffs, please.
Yeah, Sabonis always poses a matchup nightmare for Anthony Davis. So the Lakers went 3-1 against the Pelicans this year. I think they're completely outmatched. All three of those wins were by at least 16 points or more. So I think it's the better matchup out of any team they could play against. The Kings have traditionally had the Lakers' number. The Warriors, you've got Steph Curry on the other side. That's always the risk you're running there. So I want to say, and I want to agree, you know, get it done against the Pelicans. Just make the playoffs, see where you go. But then you look at a possible setup of having to play the Thunder.
Mm-hmm.
They're, you know, average age of 24, a great season from them. Come regular season time, the veterans are the ones that win, not the young, fascinating teams. Lakers also went 3-1 against the Thunder this season. I see both sides to it. I don't really know what I'll have. I don't know what my opinion will be. I've got to mourn it over a little bit longer. But look, I mean, it's a tough situation. You know, tank and run the risk of not even making the playoffs, or get it done and have to play the Nuggets. I will say, the Lakers are the deepest team, and I've said it all year long, the second deepest team in the Western Conference. They have the personnel to match up with the Nuggets. And I think last year they just got worn out because of the wear and tear of the playoffs. If you play them earlier on, you might not have that. I think their health is very key, and if you get them early on, then you could run the table in the Western Conference. Let's move over to the Eastern Conference now. What a win on Sunday. The Knicks clinched the number two seed in the East, but could possibly face the 76ers if they get it done against Miami. Despite New York playing their best basketball of the season, keep in mind, Julius Randle's not playing for it.
Yeah.
You know, out for the season. They've been playing really, really well. A lot of that's due to Jalen Brunson. Probably should be a first team NBA player this season. But is the possible matchup with Philadelphia daunting for this Knicks team?
It is, and I have three things just, you know, pretty quickly here. Number one is Joel Embiid. Any time you go up against Joel Embiid, it's daunting.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about the impact he has, and he hits another gear, it feels like, when they go into the postseason. Is just able to have that takeover factor where he can go off at any point, and all of a sudden, you know, he buries you in a game. And so now that he's back, New York's going to have to try to find an answer for him. I don't know if they have it right now on their roster, so they're going to have to try to find a way to get around that and find a way to at least limit him a little bit to stay in this series. The second thing is, you know, do they have an offense to keep up with an offense led by Embiid and Maxey? Brunson has been excellent, don't get me wrong. I mean, had 40 in their game to clinch the second seed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It feels like he, you know, every time I look, oh, it's 40, 42, 45. He's been fantastic. But no Randle hurts, certainly, on the offensive side. Some other injury issues. You know, what do they have beyond Jalen Brunson when it gets down to it? You know, if Brunson goes cold, who are you going to turn to is going to be a big question to find some other sources of offense, some unlikely heroes. That's another question I have. And then the last thing, they don't have a ton of playoff experience on their roster.
Yeah.
Jalen Brunson, look, we saw what he did in Dallas, and that was impressive, and he's going to be ready for the moment again, I have no doubt. But beyond him, they don't have a ton of playoff experience where you've got these guys that are like, oh, well, they've been here, you know, a time or two, and they know what to do, how to handle a playoff series. Yeah. They don't really have that. It's not a team loaded with that experience. That will definitely hurt them compared to what Embiid and company have in Philly.
Yeah, with how the 76ers have played ever since just Joel Embiid coming off of an injury, it's been like night and day, because they went a good 3 months where it felt like, you know, this team won't really compete for an NBA title if they're without Joel Embiid. And then as soon as he comes back, he's dropping 30 points and 15 rebounds in like 20 minutes. And, you know, this team looks like it did at the early parts of the season when they were really successful. So I think, you know, facing Embiid at all, especially when, you know, he hasn't played as many games as he's used to this year due to that injury, so he's still going to have some juice left in the tank. I think that's one thing to look at too. But like you said, Dawson, you know, the Knicks really don't have the playoff runs with or from guys on the bench and just on the team in general that, you know, guys like Tyrese Maxey and, geez, slipping my mind, he's never mind, screw that. Just 76ers, it's, you know, full of guys that have been in the playoffs over these last, like, 6-7 years. They've had some decent runs, you know, came up just short in 2019 against the Raptors. So, I mean, these guys have been there and walked it. And, you know, with a scorer like Tyrese Maxey and mixing that with, you know, the big-time point ability of Embiid, it's just really going to be hard for Jalen Brunson to overcome, seemingly by himself at this point.
All right, let's now move over to my personal punching bag, and that's the Milwaukee Bucks. they dropped to the 3 seed and have struggled against the Pacers this season, winning just one matchup out of 5 contests. Are the Bucks on pace for a second consecutive first-round upset? I say yes, because this team does not have any defense, and they're going against one of the best offensive units in the NBA in the Pacers. Adding Pascal Siakam now gives them length to be able to counter Giannis Antetokounmpo. Before they added Siakam, they didn't have that. Miles Turner is a really good down low, but in terms of a one-on-one matchup, you've got Siakam now able to go with Giannis, and then you've got Miles Turner down low. That's a really tough matchup. So if the Pacers are able to put up the offensive numbers they put up all season long and against this Bucks team, I think the Bucks are on pace for a second consecutive first round upset. Mm-hmm. I really do, and I think that we're already seeing a little bit of a scapegoat for when this team loses, because now you have this Giannis injury, right? And Doc Rivers can turn around and be like, "Well, hey, Giannis wasn't at full health. We didn't really get to experience what this ride could be like because of that." So I'm glad they've already started pushing that out, because now we will forget all the defensive woes they had and forget that Damian Lillard on the wrong side of 33 was a bad acquisition, a bad fit on this Bucks team. So if they want to continue to run this back, go ahead and do it. I think the Bucks are on pace to get bounced.
Yeah, the things have yet to improve under Doc Rivers in Milwaukee since they hired him. At times, they've almost looked worse under Rivers than they did under Adrian Griffin.
They have. I don't
who
think that's
they
ridiculous.
Fired to hire yeah. Doc Rivers. You know, they're falling off the rails, especially lately. It feels like, again, they've taken another step backwards at the worst time, especially going into a series with a very hungry, young, feisty Pacers team that I've been high on all year, maybe higher than some, but still a very young team, a very, you know, very capable team, and a team that's coming into its own at the right time. Yeah. It's falling off the rails. Look, their defense is not adequate to win games. It's especially not adequate to go on a playoff run. That holiday trade is biting them day after day after day. Game after game that we see the defense continue to slip, that holiday trade looks worse for them. They're a shell of that former defensive team that they used to be. And offensively, they've been out of sorts because they can't figure out who they want to have the ball most right. between Giannis and Lillard and the rest of that team and who should get more touches. They need to fix it quick. They've shown no indication to me that they're going to do so.
Yeah. Yeah, I think with the prowess of that Pacers offense, which is, you know, they had 10 games where they scored 140 or more this season, which is, like, apparently tied for the most in NBA history for a team. It's absolutely – it's very much on the table. Would not be surprised whatsoever. Like you said, we've talked about the defensive woes and how just, you know, trading away a guy that was so big for that defense on that title run a couple years back and how much that has done with, you know, even on the offensive end, it's translated over where, you know, you get a guy like Damian Lillard who needs, you know, volume and a ton of shots, but you've also got Giannis Antetokounmpo down there that needs the same thing so he can make an impact on the game. I think both of those guys, like, really want to have a share with each other and really try to, but the way that they play just sort of butts heads, like, you know, unintentionally. And, you know, we talked about an identity crisis for this team. It's still a big problem. They had that fluke game against the Celtics where there was only like 2 free throws attempted or whatever. You know, maybe it felt like that was a clean game for them, but, you know, it was a fluke. This team is really, you know, especially if Giannis's injury keeps rolling over, this team won't make very much noise at all. I mean, there's a chance that they could win one game and be done.
Yeah, quick little, I know we're about to do In the News with Dawson, but some news that relates to the NBA, I just thought I'd take to the airwaves. The Team USA has finalized 11 members of its 12-man Olympic roster, and get a load of this, guys. LeBron James, Stephen Curry, Kevin Durant, Joel Embiid, Jason Tatum, Devin Booker, Drew Holiday, Anthony Davis, Anthony Edwards, Bam Adebayo, Tyrese Halliburton. So 11 names have been finalized. There's still one roster spot remaining. I say Jalen Brunson should take that spot.
I think that's so fair, too. Yeah.
Now, Kawhi Leonard off that list. Paul George not on that list. Kyrie Irving not on that list. Brunson, with the way he's played, I think deserves a spot. But overall, that is a that is an, an Olympic
nasty.
Championship roster right there. That's
you can follow up the Dream Team, throw Connect out there if you wanted to.
Oh, you know, there you go.
There you go.
Get a little curveball action.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. I cannot wait for the documentary about this team in 10 or 15, 20 years. Loaded roster, but I think Jalen Brunson should take that last spot. Yeah. How about that? That's a good look.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, who else do you want representing the, you know, the best basketball country in the world? So, can't really complain.
I feel bad for the you know what? Let's head to a break before I say something I shouldn't. In the news with Dawson Wise coming up next on Overtime.
Looking for a luxury RV getaway? Then come see Two Rivers Landing RV Resort. Just imagine a personal oasis on the French Broad River with outstanding amenities just minutes from the Great Smoky Mountains. Enjoy the quiet, private setting on sites offering unexpected beauty and tranquility. Unplug from everyday life and plug in to the serenity of life on the river, big mountain skies, and bucket list sunsets at Two Rivers Landing RV Resort. Serenity in the heart of it all. Visit tworiversrvresort.com.
Rev up your savings at Volunteer Auto Group, your one-stop destination for quality vehicles at unbeatable prices. Cruise through their vast selection of pre-owned cars, trucks, and SUVs. They've got the flexible financing options that make it easy for you to drive home today. Volunteer Auto Group, where every deal's a winner. 1501 Callahan Drive. Check them out online at volauto.com and tell them Fan Run sent you.
Brand built in Tennessee and born from the love of the game. Inward Half revolutionizes golfing comfort. Crafted by a former pro and dedicated enthusiast just like you, our luxury performance wear guarantees you stay cool and comfortable through every swing and every day. We're not just a brand. We've set out to create a lifestyle for those who understand that impeccable style and premium performance are a hole-in-one. Enjoy the walk-in with Inward Half.
Your tax refund belongs to you, not an identity thief. Over $6 billion in tax refunds were flagged by the IRS for possible identity theft last year. If you're in a bind this tax season, LifeLock can help. They monitor and alert you to identity threats you'd miss on your own, even if you're careful with your personal information. And if you do become a victim of tax-related identity fraud, LifeLock has U.S.-based restoration specialists ready to help solve your identity theft issue. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 million protection package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. Let LifeLock help protect your financial info, so all you have to worry about is what you do with your tax refund. Go to LifeLock.com, save up to 25% off your first year. The promo code is HERD, promo code H-E-R-D, to save up to 25% off your first year. LifeLock.com. Identity theft protection starts here.
Are you tired of spending hours on laundry and ironing? Let Crown Cleaners handle your dry cleaning so you can handle your business. Our expert team can take care of your clothes, removing stains and wrinkles like they were never there. Whether it's your best suit or everyday attire, we handle it all at Crown Cleaners. Say goodbye to laundry stress and hello to extra free time. Crown Cleaners, Big Orange Country's Imperial Dry Cleaning Service since the 1960s. Online at crowncleaners.com.
All right, back here on Overtime on a Monday. We appreciate you listening along with us. Great conversation about the NBA playoffs in the first segment of our number two here. But now it's time for In the News with Dawson Wise. Dawson?
All right, first up tonight, the 2024 WNBA draft is about to get underway. Actually, is just starting so far tonight over on ESPN. Iowa superstar Caitlin Clark is expected to be the first overall pick tonight. Stanford star Cameron Brink is expected to be pick number two. Falling at the third overall projection is former Lady Vol Rekia Jackson, expected to currently be drafted by the Chicago Sky, home of former Lady Vol for Lady Vols for Life Diamond DeShields and Isabel Harrison. So would be the third Lady Vol on the Chicago Sky team. I believe Candace Parker.
Candace Parker won championships there.
Yeah, yeah.
So that would be really a really cool continuation of that Lady Vol lineage in Chicago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Jackson coming off an incredible career at Tennessee, highlighted by a two-year stretch that saw her land on the All-American team, and received numerous national and conference honors, leading the Lady Vols to back-to-back winning seasons and tournament appearances and many big wins during her time. She left her mark in Knoxville and is now ready to take the next step in her career, hearing her name called tonight at the WNBA draft. And when we talk about her legacy and what she leaves in Knoxville, I think she leaves a foundation for this new staff, for this new team. I think she was able to mentor some of these players, like a Jewel Spear, like a Tess Darby. You know, kind of give them, give them the keys. You know, teach them. Yeah. You know, hey, here's what I've learned over my time in college basketball. You know, here's what I can give y'all. You know, I can stick around and be that, you know, leader, but then I can hand it off and set up the next generation perfectly. That's what these kinds of players do.
Sure.
That's what Dalton Connect can do for the men's team. We've seen several players like this over time. And when we talk about her legacy, she's going to be remembered for a long time. I know she only spent 2 years here, but really helped to kind of revitalize a program that felt like it was plateauing a little bit.
Sure.
Now, granted, it didn't end the way I'm sure that she wanted it to. But certainly now some renewed interest as much of the roster comes back and she's able to lay a foundation. Talking about her expectations at the next level, pro-ready. I mean, probably one of the most pro-ready players in the draft tonight.
Yes.
Very strong wing player that's going to get a lot of touches, wants the ball, demands the ball.
Yeah,
And loves the moment.
Yeah.
She's like Dalton Connect. She wants that moment. And so many times, in the fourth quarter, it's all her. She'll score 12 points in a row in those games. LSU last year comes to mind. South Carolina this year comes to mind, double-digit straight points in the fourth quarter. She's pro-ready. She can shoot the ball well, get inside, shoot it from basically anywhere on the court, including from three if you absolutely need her to.
Yeah.
She's going to be an excellent pro player and translates really well to the pro level. Guys, we'll throw it to you. What will Rekia's legacy be at Tennessee, and what can we expect from her at the next level?
Well, I think her legacy, transferring over from Mississippi State, in the age of NIL and the transfer portal, she's kind of that first big transfer that hit for the Lady Vols, kind of that first stepping stone of adapting to what college basketball and college athletics has become. Rekia Jackson was that first big hit. Mm. And she provided, as you said, many big-time moments, demanded the ball, wanted the moment. And I think a lot of players that come from different locations don't have that same leadership and that same want to come into a program and make it not like it's her team, but you know what I mean? Want the moment and make it like, okay, this is my team. Let's get this thing rolling. Rekia Jackson was that for Tennessee.
Yeah.
You talk about some of her moments in the late quarters of games. How about her, against NC State coming out and being almost unguardable? She was big throughout every moment of every game. I really, really wish she had one more year of eligibility because I think she'd fit really well with Kim Caldwell and her
style.
Staff. Yes, and that staff just being, so high-paced, high volume, a lot of shots getting up, and just high tempo. So as a result, I think she'll resemble that game very well at the WNBA level. As that game continues to pick up in pace, and you have a lot more guards like a Caitlin Clark, Inyesco from the New York Liberty.
Yes.
Just faster pace, higher pace. And I think that Jackson will relate well. I'm really excited to see her play for the Chicago Sky, most likely. I don't want to call it too soon, but most likely for the Sky.
Yeah, I think the first thing that comes to mind for legacy is, one thing she did for this Lady Vols team over this last 2 years was she kept this team afloat. We saw some spurts this year where, of course, to start the year, she wasn't active very much due to an injury, and that team really looked lost. It really didn't have an identity. Lo and behold, Rekia Jackson comes back, and it feels like a savior is there. She's the one that you can rely on both ends to be consistent game in and game out. And I think that's one thing that Lady Vols program is really going to miss, the consistency there. I mean, she's got back-to-back All-American, years just during her two short-year tenure at Tennessee. So I think being a solid rock on both ends and being that leader is going to be something that this Tennessee team is going to miss, especially rolling in with a completely new fresh face at head coach in a what's likely going to be a much different roster this upcoming year. It's really going to be interesting to see how that team functions without a centerpiece quite like Rekia Jackson. And as for next level expectations, I think they should be through the roof. There's a reason she's a WNBA lottery pick. She puts it together on both ends, like you said, and she wants the moment. That's one thing that I'm really excited to see. You know, we're going to see probably more WNBA games on national television than maybe ever this season, just because of players like Caitlin Clark, Cameron Brink, Rekia Jackson coming into the league this year. So I think the expectations should be, day one impact on both ends, should be, vying for, Rookie of the Year more than likely will be in the race, at least in my opinion, and really should turn some heads this season.
Yeah, look forward to hearing her name called here. Briefly, the draft is underway. Yes. Look forward to hearing her name called here in the next few minutes. We'll stick with the Lady Vols on topic. New Lady Vols head coach Kim Caldwell has brought some more change to Rocky Top after it was reported last week that assistant Samantha Williams would not be returning to the team this year as an assistant coach. It was announced today that fellow former assistant, Joy McCorvey has accepted the head coaching position at Stony Brook. Very well-deserved position. One of the nominees for assistant coach of the year this past season. She takes that position and departs as well. That left Caldwell with some gaps in her coaching staff, and she filled them and did so quickly and did it in a big way. She hires away two SEC-level assistants, Alabama's Roman Tubner and Mississippi State's Gabe Lazo. Tubner helped bring in the 12th overall recruiting class in 2023 to Tuscaloosa and brings a wealth of coaching experience. Lazo helped bring in the nation's 16th best recruiting class down in Starkville and also helped develop two all-SEC players in Jessica Carter and Debrisha Powell. Powell also landed on the all-freshman team, one of those players from that 2023 class. Both bring considerable recruiting and development ability and SEC-level experience. And when we talk about what this does for the program, this is a splash. One that I did not expect Caldwell to make this quickly. I figured she'd go get some lower-level assistants, maybe a couple from her Marshall time. Now, I know she is bringing over one of her most trusted assistant, her most long-tenured assistant from Marshall. But I figured she'd go get that level of coach. I did not think she'd be able to sway away SEC coaches, especially Lazo had just been named assistant head coach in Starkville, I think, 3 days ago. And now you hire him away from Mississippi State 3 days later. Two very good recruiters, both had a very big hand in recruiting a couple of those big-name classes, a couple of these classes that had some really talented players for those two teams. You needed that. Because the complaint for the past 3-4 years had been Kelly Harper couldn't recruit, and her assistants could not recruit either. Now you get two well-proven recruiting coaches that are going to help you immediately get on the recruiting trail, which she needs to do, and they are good at developing talent as well. You get big name level assistants, and that's going to help a lot. What do these hirings do for the trajectory of the new Lady Vol program under Caldwell?
Yeah, well, I think that Caldwell looked at what was going on in Knoxville and said, okay, where are we struggling? Where has this team been struggling? And off the court, it's been recruiting. So what a better idea than to go get two SEC-level coaches. Tubner has plenty of experience. Austin Peay, Indiana State, UNC Wilmington, at Ball State as well as an assistant coach, and has been with the Tide since 2021. And you talk about bringing in some really good recruiting classes, 12th for Alabama this past year. That's what you need in Knoxville. And then Gabe Lazo, don't know too much about him, to be honest. I did know Tubner before, but Gabe Lazo, don't know too much on him. But as you said, did really well in recruiting. And I think that's what Caldwell looked at. What do I need to bring in? I need to bring in big-time hires, big-time recruiters, people that can put Lady Vols basketball back to where it needs to be. And that's what Caldwell's trying to do. You saw that confidence in her opening press conference. The goal is to bring the Lady Vols back to where they have been in history and back where they need to be. So getting two coaches from your own conference is pretty impressive, especially for someone that just took the job a week ago. Really impressive, and I think that helps the recruiting side of things. And you also add two guys with plenty of experience, not only at the SEC level, but all over college basketball from Ball State to UNC Wilmington, Indiana State, all different places. Big hire for Caldwell. I like it.
Yeah, I'm huge on both of these hires, only because, you know, you're taking them away from teams that you're going to see year in and year out, and right. Two teams that have been on the up and up. I know we saw Mississippi State win a national title not too long ago, but, you know, they're still trying to, you know, set themselves up to get back on runs like that. And Alabama had a weirdly good year this year compared to some of the years behind us. And, you know, being for Coach Caldwell to be aggressive like that and go after these big names that have really been, you know, trademarks for, you know, elevating these programs to where they are today, I think that's huge. Not only for you know, recruiting and stuff like that. But I think what it brings also is confidence, whether it be your team or your fan base. You know that this coach is going to be here to win. I think that's what she wants to do more than anything is win. And the mindset of going out there, grabbing coaches like this of such high caliber is exactly the start that you need whenever you're here. So it really feels like she hasn't taken days off since she's been in Knoxville. I think that's the biggest takeaway. You're going out and getting guys that are going to be instant impacts for your team and are really going to be program changing hires, I believe, especially compared to these last 2 years. So, you know, big ups to Coach Caldwell, you know, being aggressive and really already showing what kind of, you know, caliber team that you're trying to build around here.
Well, and showing what kind of resources that you have in Knoxville
exactly.
as well to go out and sway some of these coaches away because of the level of job, because of the level of resources they're going to have to recruit. Excellent hires by Caldwell, and I look forward to seeing what she does next. Next up, the Masters Tournament wrapped up yesterday at Augusta National Golf Club. Scottie Scheffler survived a rough start yesterday afternoon to pull away on the back nine and win his second green jacket of his career, continuing to rack up wins to what is already a very strong resume.
Yeah.
Fellow competitors Max Homa and Colin Morikawa paced Scheffler early, but found late adversity on the back nine, allowing Ludvig Åberg, a first-timer at Augusta, to come home second. Four strokes off the lead. Bryson DeChambeau led through one round, was never able to replicate his 7-under performance from Thursday, and finished sixth on the weekend. In the end, it may not have been enough for the weekend prowess displayed by Scheffler. He caught fire on the weekend, pulled away to win by four strokes. The former world number one now has two of the last three green jackets.
Mm-hmm.
And when we talk about what this does for Scheffler's career, it elevates him even more, if you can even do that. A guy who's been number one for basically the better part of 3 years at this point. Now, it hit a little bit of a drought, it felt like, but comes back at Augusta and says, I'm still here and still just as dominant and wins another one. It's starting to elevate him into some of these, you know, best status, you know, kind of getting up there with some of these greats that have come before him. He's not on the level of some of those guys yet, but he's still got a long time to get it done. I mean, two green jackets in the last 3 years.
Yeah.
An incredible achievement for him. With a lot of career, we assume, a lot of career left to go. I mean, still probably a decade or so left for Scottie Scheffler to continue to rack this up. What does this win do for Scottie Scheffler's career?
Yeah, Scottie Scheffler is in a league of his own,
is
my takeaway from this. I think there's a pretty big gap now between Scottie Scheffler and the second best player in the world, whoever that is. You know, Scheffler, he's the fourth youngest to win two green jackets now, which is incredible. And, you know, as you talk about, has been for the past couple of years one of the best players in the world, with a little bit of a drought. But now, I mean, his performance on the back nine on Sunday was very, very impressive. And then, you know, one of my other takeaways outside of how impressive Scheffler was, you know, the LIV Tour, you know, they did well last year. They walked away empty-handed this time around. I think that, you know, the fact that these guys are still able to play in this is a little weird, but it's a big, after we've seen now 2 years of the LIV Tour being a deal, they struggled this time around. So that was one more takeaway. Also, Rory McIlroy, man, he's continued to struggle. You know, these big names, does Scottie Scheffler get up to those big names is my question going on, because in my eyes, you know, if he delivered my pizza tonight, you know, I wouldn't be able to tell who he was. I don't follow golf that closely.
Right.
But, like, the looks of, like, Tiger and Rory, like, you know those guys. I feel like Scheffler doesn't have that stardom just yet. But having a win like this definitely puts him up there in terms of the amount of people that know this guy and what he's done so far at 27 years old.
Yes.
It's incredible.
It's very, very impressive.
Yeah, it's. I think it only adds to what's been one of the probably maybe the most impressive start to a career since Tiger Woods started out. I mean, just the way that he's been able, especially over these last couple years, to just breeze through these tournaments and has really put together a really nice resume with these, you know, two green jackets. Those are nothing to slouch about. And like you said, he really has set himself apart. I'm looking at the rankings right now. The number two golfer in the world right now is Rory McIlroy, and it feels just after this weekend that, you know, there is a sizable gap between those two just from that, let alone performance. So I think whatever he's been able to do has been really big. You know, I think, like you said, had a couple guys give him a run late in the day Sunday, but, you know, I felt like Max Homa sort of choked things away. I think he sent one into the bushes one time, and that was sort of your turnaround, like, uh-oh, Scheffler is about to just run away with this thing, which he did, won by four strokes. So I think it only adds to, you know, the early career success that we've seen from some of the biggest names in golf, and it really feels like it's just starting for him. Like you said, it feels like this could go on for at least another decade. It should be a really exciting time to be a golf fan.
One more thing to add real quick. Talk about a stretch for him. So he wins the Masters, and his wife is about to have their first kid.
Yeah.
They couldn't stop talking about that.
Well, I mean, it's cool, though. It's cool.
Oh, yeah,
I mean, I was like, what if the kid's born tonight? I would, if it were me, I would name it Augusta and call him Gus for short, and then boom.
There you go.
Talk about, I mean, that's a hell of a stretch for anyone. Yeah. Congrats to him on both of those achievements.
All right, last thing. Andy Reid has broken his silence on the Rashee Rice situation. Reid said that the team fully expects to have Rice available for virtual meetings as part of the typical off-season activities beginning today. He would not answer as to whether or not the team expects him to be at the later part of the off-season program when it moves back to Kansas City. When asked about the ongoing case, Reid said, quote, "I want to keep gathering the information from the law enforcement people. We'll just see where everything goes from there and let the process take place." Rice, again, facing one count of aggravated assault, one count of collision involving serious bodily injury, and six counts of collision involving injury after his involvement in a six-vehicle chain reaction crash in Dallas last month. Reid added, quote, "As long as he's learned from it, that's the most important part of it." And quarterback Patrick Mahomes chimed in as well, saying, "I'm sure we'll continue that work as the legal process plays out." When you talk about how the Chiefs are handling this, and I know did we cover it on Thursday last week?
We talked about it very shortly, sort of in this section too.
So when it comes to how the Chiefs are handling it, I don't know if it's the right way to go ahead and just let him back into team activities, and just not treat it as if nothing happened. But especially after the quotes today, it kind of feels like it's just, oh, well, the legal process will be over, and then we'll have him back at camp, and everything will be okay.
Yeah.
I don't think that's the right way to handle this situation, and the quotes really throw you the wrong way, I think, today from Reid and from Mahomes, who has continued to work out with Rashee Rice even during this situation.
Yeah.
By the way, also according to that same article, I'm not sure they're handling it right. I feel like the right idea would be to kind of distance from him for now. You know, kind of like we saw it now, and obviously the Henry Ruggs situation ends much differently. And he's out of the league now. Meanwhile, here are the Chiefs kind of welcoming Rice right back into the team activities a week after this all happens.
Yeah.
Guys, are the Chiefs handling this the right way?
Well, first off, you read, Rashee Rice put up some really good stats in the playoffs. You read the stats of his crime report. That's impressive, too. I think the Chiefs are poorly handling this. The right way to do it is, hey, we're going to let the legal process finish out, and then we will comment on it after. And he, you know, whatever happens during that process, we will go from there. Talking about how he's still going to be a part of the team and all this stuff when he's got eight different counts against him, I think that's a poor idea. Just even if that's happening, don't answer it. Just be like, we'll wait for the process to finish out. Very ironic. Patrick Mahomes gives a statement. I guess he's used to talking about the legal process with his dad's antics. But those are my takeaways. I don't think the Chiefs should have said that. And there's got to be a better way to phrase what Mahomes and Reid said.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about it last week, where you know. geez, Rice is, he's so lucky that this isn't a very similar situation to the Henry Ruggs situation, because that would have been something that, you know, would have probably already been handled. So he gets off lucky on that part. But beyond that, I mean, like you said, William, I really wouldn't have said much, if anything at all. You really do have to just let the legal process play out, knowing what's possible to come from that. And, you know, I really wouldn't give a solidified answer whether, you know, you are going to be seeing him or not. At this point, it's way too early to tell what's going to happen and, you know, if we're going to see him on the field at all next year. So I think, you know, just going out and saying that's, it's a little, you know, touchy on the subject, at least sure. for right now. So not the best way to go about it. But, you know, he's lucky it's not more serious than it is.
All right. That is In the News with Dawson Wise. And when we come back, we'll wrap up hour number two here on Overtime.
Ever been the coach who realized the team's gear just wasn't up to par? Well, if I'm being honest, that was me. Just a downright irresponsible and plain bad coach. Then SM Athletics changed the game. I want you to picture this. I walk into their store, a coach with a vision. SM Athletics didn't just see a coach. They saw a team's potential. And they delivered custom uniforms so striking. Our team spirit soared. From cutting-edge apparel to top-notch equipment, SM Athletics transformed our presence. No more unreliable online orders or envying the other team's style. SM Athletics stands for quality, design, and on-time delivery every time. Coaches, elevate your team with SM Athletics. Call 865-966-3434 or visit smathletics.com. Get the best for your team, delivered right and on time. So, elevate your team's game by contacting SM Athletics today.
Hi, I'm Dr. Michael Costa at Knoxville Smiles. In addition to routine dental cleanings, Knoxville Smiles also offers cosmetic dentistry services such as teeth whitening, Invisalign, dental implants, cosmetic veneers, and much more. Our state-of-the-art facility goes above and beyond when it comes to cleanliness to keep you and your family safe during your visit. Take a virtual tour of our state-of-the-art West Knoxville facility today at KnoxvilleSmiles.com or just call us at 865-539-1776.
Are you tired of the same boring workouts that don't get you the results that you want? Check out HotWorks. With infrared light therapy and personalized wellness options, you'll be able to get the perfect workout every time. With the hot yoga or any of the other isometric options at HotWorks, you'll feel the detoxification right away. Hop on over to 10839 Hardin Valley Road or visit any of the other Knoxville locations to get started on your personalized journey.
A brand built in Tennessee and born from the love of the game. Inward Half revolutionizes golfing comfort. Crafted by a former pro and dedicated enthusiast just like you, our luxury performance wear guarantees you stay cool and comfortable through every swing and every day. We're not just a brand. We've set out to create a lifestyle for those who understand that impeccable style and premium performance are a hole-in-one. Enjoy the walk-in with Inward Half.
The first annual Fan Run Open is Saturday, April 20th at Williams Creek Par 3 course. Proceeds will benefit the Boys and Girls Club of East Tennessee, Care Cuts, and Emerald Youth Sports. Sign up and compete with your team of 3-4 for the Fan Run Trophy or in our individual competitions, or hit it big by winning one of our door prizes. Hang out with the Fan Run crew and support our local community. To register your team or to become a sponsor, email us at fanrunradio@gmail.com or go to fanrunradio.com/shop.
All right, back here on Overtime on a Monday, wrapping up. Caitlin Clark has officially gone number one in the WNBA draft. We talked about Rakia Jackson in the news with Dawson Wise in the previous segment. Now, the WNBA draft is officially underway. Caitlin Clark at one, Cameron Brink out of Stanford at two. And we were talking about in the break, the Indiana Fever have 36 nationally televised games yeah. this year compared to last year they only had one. The effect of Caitlin Clark, and we were joking, what if the Indiana Fever did not take Caitlin Clark? What the league would have done, I guess a quick quick pivot to, I guess, maybe put the team that did draft Clark and give them 36 televised games? I don't know. But how big will Caitlin Clark be for the WNBA? Because we saw what she did at the college level. WNBA has seen ebbs and flows. It's in a little bit of an upward trajectory as of late. Do you think Caitlin Clark is going to make this thing boom?
I think she'll do a part in it. I think there's a few players this year that will help. I think she'll obviously be the biggest in terms of, you know, the eyes she brought to women's college basketball over the last few years. She'll be the biggest draw because of her style of play, because of how big a star she has become. She's absolutely going to be the biggest. Now, it is kind of funny, and I'm not saying she's not going to pan out, but you do kind of wonder. You know, you never know what you're going to get. Even when you draft a player number one, right, you don't know they're going to pan out. I wonder now what they're going to do if they get to game 3, 4, 5 and realize, oh, I don't think Caitlin Clark is what we anticipated. Now you got 36 games on national television.
Yeah.
I think she'll pan out. But I'm just saying, it is kind of funny to think, wow, I mean, if she doesn't pan out, they got 36 games of a team that now no longer has a star.
It feels like, you know, she's immediately going to be a face of the league. I think one thing that she's bringing in, you know, like you said, there's been so much star power in the college game over these last few years, and now all of those stars are about to transition over to the WNBA, and that's only going to be huge, or only going to allow for growth for the WNBA. And you know, at this point, it feels like she's going to have a humongous target on her back. We've seen all this talk from, you know, older WNBA players that have retired, and maybe some that are active, about just what Caitlin Clark is doing or did do at the college level and beyond that. Some of them aren't really the biggest fan, it feels like. So really should be interesting to see what sort of rivalries pop out in the WNBA because of that stuff.
Yep. All right, that's going to wrap us up here on Overtime. Coming up at 8:10 here on Fan Run Radio, the Braves at the Houston Astros. You can hear it live here on Fan Run Radio. We appreciate you listening along with us. For William Pattison, Dawson Wise, and Jace Brown, we'll see you again tomorrow for Overtime.